Take your Bibles tonight. You can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, we're going to start in verse 3. Tonight I'm going to be sharing on our perspective, or what should we expect? We sang a song tonight that said this world is not our home, that we're just passing through. And in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which," what? "Believe not." And so it talks about a God of this world. Right? And the God of this world is the adversary. It's the devil. He's the God of this world. He has control over this world. Adam fell and gave him control of it. So this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Right? And that's a good thing, because the adversary is a lousy host. Right? He's not a very good host. He tries to steal and to kill and to destroy. Right? And that's not a very good thing. So our plan is to leave, right? To not be a part of this world. But not just to leave, but to spoil his party while we're here, okay? While we're here. We do that by speaking the truth in love and walking like the Christ that's in us. We have a great example in God's only begotten Son. And if we walk that way, then we're going to spoil the devil's fun while we're here. So even though it's not our home and we're just a passing through, we can have a great effect. Verse 4 again, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of God," or glorious gospel of Christ, "who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And that gospel of Christ shines unto people because of us. Because it's God in Christ in us. And sometimes we get discouraged in that endeavor of walking Christ-like, of putting on the word. Right? Webster's dictionary says that courage is the mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. So to have courage is to stand, to withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. And mental strength comes from our thinking, right? That's where mental stuff comes from, is our brain. So if our thoughts align with God and his word, then we will mentally be strong. Makes sense. So we want to have a proper perspective. What do we think? What do we put on our brains? What's our perspective? A proper perspective is vital because it does two things. One, it makes you prepared to face the negative things that come your way. If you have a proper perspective, you're prepared for the negative stuff that's going to happen. And two, a proper perspective reveals unto you the great and positive things that you can believe are available. Okay? So the word shows us how to believe for what's best and how to view or deal with anything that's less than the best. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 10. Puppy. 1 John chapter 3 verse 10 says, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil." This is how they're made manifest. "Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore," or why, "did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world," what? hate you. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. Don't be surprised. That's something that we can expect because the adversary is the God of this world. We shouldn't be surprised that bad stuff happens. We shouldn't be surprised that the world, you know, the unbelieving portion, doesn't like us. That should not be a surprise, right? Daddy. Part of what we should expect in our perspective and be prepared for is tribulation, difficult things, crappy stuff. We should expect that because the adversary is the God of this world. But we can't allow those things to steal our joy and to discourage us. We still need to have that courage and that mental strength, because that's what the Word of God says is available. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. So don't be surprised. Be prepared. Which means that when bad stuff happens, it's not all woe is me. Okay? Woe is me means like I wasn't ready for that. But the Word of God says that we should be prepared for it. First Thessalonians 3, verse 1. This is Paul writing to the Thessalonians. It says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by what? These afflictions." And that's really cool. Right? We are part of this one body. We have each other. We have other people who believe God's word to fellowship with. And just like Timothy, we can encourage one another. We can minister to each other. We can establish and comfort each other so that we won't be moved by the junk that comes up. Verse 3 again, "that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." You yourselves know that as saints, that we're appointed to a position where afflictions will arise. That's what it's saying. That bad stuff is going to happen. Verse 4, "for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know." You know it. You deal with it. But we have each other to help each other. And that's the reassuring part. We can stand together as one body. We can pray together and for each other. We can teach and help each other to the end that we're not moved by those negative circumstances. That should be our perspective. Go to 2 Timothy 3:10. 2 Timothy. A couple pages over, 2 Timothy 3:10. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Out of them all, God delivers. God always delivers. Right? He's saying, you knew all this stuff that came up, but out of all of them, God delivered me. God took care of me. And God does that for us. Verse 12, "yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax." Wax means grow. "They will get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." It's just going to get worse. Verse 14, "but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom you have heard them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And that salvation is a saving. It's a delivering. It'll make you wise. It'll give you wisdom so that you can get out of those circumstances, that tough stuff, that persecution, that tribulation. The word is what does it. This is how we build our believing, by keeping the word on in our heads. By keeping the word on in our heads. So we know that bad stuff is going to happen. We can expect God to deliver us. That should be our perspective. James chapter 1 verse 2 talks about how we should view those negative circumstances. So our expectation is, one, that bad stuff's going to happen, now we're prepared, and two, that God's going to deliver us. Very easy. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all crappy pants when you fall into diverse temptations. Get real bummed out. Cry all day long till you feel better. That's not what it says. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy. Joy is happy stuff. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Remember that? Joy's happy stuff. Count it all joy. Be happy. Why? Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, or complete, wanting nothing. So we should count them as joy, because we know that in the end they result in growth when they're dealt with according to the word. When you face difficult times, you can say, wow, this is another chance for me to believe God and to see him take care of me. Right? Hannah lost her 8-subject folder over the weekend. She realized late last night, getting ready for school, it wasn't here in the house. And that's a very important object to her for school. And so we prayed about it, and we looked in the house, we did our very best, and when we couldn't find it, we gave it to God, and we said, all right, well, then you're just going to have to take care of it. You're just going to have to take care of it. And she goes into school, and it was in her homeroom waiting for her. Somebody had found it and dropped it off with her teacher on Friday. And it was just there. It was not something we needed to worry about. It wasn't something that we needed to get bent out of shape about. We just prayed about it, and then it was over. And then we can count that as joy. We can be like, wow, that was great to see God work in that situation. That there it was. I didn't have to worry about it. So anything that we deal with, we can handle it like that. That should be our perspective. 1 Corinthians 10. God knew that folder was important to Hannah. He knew it the day she forgot it or left it someplace on Friday. He wasn't going to make sure she wasn't going to lose it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. There is nothing, no kind of temptation, no kind of tribulation that you're dealing with that other people over the centuries haven't dealt with. It ain't new. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you, not allow you, to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to what? To bear it. God knows the bad stuff's going to happen. He is aware of the situation we live in, that the adversary is the god of this world. And so what does he do but give us deliverance, give us a way out? Right? Because the adversary is the god of this world, he can't just stop it all from happening. That's not what's available. But what is available is a way out. With the temptation, a way to escape it. That's what God can provide for you. till the adversary is destroyed, till we're with God forever and ever in heaven, there's going to be an adversary. Till that day comes, he gives us a way to escape it. So you can find comfort in knowing that you will never face something that you can't handle because God is bigger than it. Because God is bigger than it. The bigger the obstacle, the more strength, more wisdom, more guidance, more patience, more comfort comes from God to overcome it. So whatever it is, God's bigger than it, and he gives you that strength, that comfort, that care to get over it. And then it's yours to keep when it's done, which is really cool. After you've overcome it, you've grown. You've grown in that strength, in that wisdom, in that guidance, and you get to keep it. And that's why in James we can count it for all joy, because it helps us to grow. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I mean, I want more strength. I want more wisdom. I want more guidance in my life. I want to be more patient. Those are things that I want. And I get those things by facing down the tough stuff. That's really cool. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. That's a lot of pressure. We were pressured beyond measure. Above strength. Insomuch, here's the degree to which the pressure was that we despaired even of life. That's a fancy way of saying we wanted to die. Pressure was so bad we wanted to die. That's a lot of pressure. But, verse 9, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which what? Raises the dead. So even though we felt like we wanted to die, that death sentence was in ourselves, because God raises the dead. He's bigger than it. We don't trust in ourselves. We trust in God. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. That's past, present, and future in the same verse. He delivered us. He does deliver. And we trust that he will yet deliver us. He'll continue to do so. Ultimately, we have the hope, right? As born-again believers with Christ in us, we know we're going to heaven. We know that when Christ comes back, we're saved. So no matter what we face, we know the end of the story. We know how it ends. And it ends with eternal life. It ends with a life with God, right? The devil's best punch he can throw at you is death. And then it's over. Then this life here is done. And the next thing you know is the return. So if we've already beaten the best he can throw at us, what are we worried about? God will deliver. That should be our perspective. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 32. That Holy Spirit that we have in us, that should be our reminder. The fact that we can speak in tongues reminds us that we're born again. That we've already been delivered. That fortifies our believing against those negative circumstances. And that's what victorious living is about. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, that was God. He that spared not his own son, God did not spare even the life of his son, Jesus Christ, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us everything else, all other things? He didn't hold back Jesus Christ's life for us. He gave his only begotten son for us. What else is he going to hold back? What else is he going to hold back? What else is God going to look at and be like, nah, I'm just going to hang on to that one. They don't deserve that one. He gave us the life of his only begotten son. There's absolutely nothing that God won't do for you. There's nothing that God won't do for you. Our expectation should be to receive the promises of God. What has He made available? Not holding anything back. So that should be our believing. Mark 6:6. That should be our perspective. That should be our expectation. That God's not holding anything back. What does God want to give you? Everything. He wants to give you the deliverance. He wants to give you the strength you need. Mark 6:6. Speaking of Jesus Christ. And He marveled. He was shocked. He was surprised. What was He surprised about? Because of their unbelief. He was shocked that people didn't believe God's word. Today we're surprised that people do believe God's word. But Jesus Christ's perspective, His outlook was, wow. Why don't people believe God's word? And that should be our perspective. How come we don't believe God's word? How come people don't believe God's word when He's given us everything? He's made everything available to us. We shouldn't be shocked that people are believing God's word. We should be surprised they're not. The word says, not everyone will believe, but we shouldn't be surprised that people want to believe, that they want to hear about God and His word. Right? We plant, we water, and God gives the increase. Go to Acts. We're going to close in Acts 27, verse 21. So our perspective should be, yeah, man, people want to believe God's word. Our perspective should be, we're going to receive. And then when we do, our perspective should be, other people are going to want this too. Let me tell them about it. And this record in Acts, this is Paul's, he was a prisoner, he was going to Rome to stand before Caesar, and the boat is overtaken in a great storm. And he had told everybody that they shouldn't go. But Acts 27, verse 21. But after long abstinence, after staying quiet for quite some time, in the middle of this storm, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. You should have listened to me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Hey, we're surrounded by a big storm. We're all going to die kind of a situation. And I exhort you to be of a good cheer. Be happy. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but or except of the ship. The only thing we're going to lose tonight is this here boat. So everybody can relax. Verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So an angel showed up and told Paul, like, don't worry, bro. You're good. And everybody here on this boat's good. You still have to go before Caesar. And this was Paul's response. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, be happy, for I what? Believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Don't you worry. I believe God. And what God told me is what's going to happen. That was it for Paul. End of story. Sure, he was on a boat in the middle of the sea. Verse 30 or 20. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. That's what they were in. Yeah. It wasn't just like, you know, the wind was blowing. They hadn't seen sun or stars in days. this was a terrible situation. And Paul was like, nope, God said we're good. And that's it. End of story. That should be our perspective. God says he'll deliver us. Paul's expectation was God was going to do it. That was his perspective. We too can have our expectation and our perspective align with what the Word of God says. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And that's what this book here is. It's God's Word. It's the promises that he's told us that is available. We believe it, and it'll come to pass.